Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. This is Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thank you. And also Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing just fine.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. And so topics that that I picked up for today, I have a feeling both of you will have your usual passion when we dive into them. I thought first we'd start off with your take, Brian, on Apple's approach or philosophy towards health fitness tracking.
Well, the story came out of a site called Apple Toolbox, who used a Freedom of Information request to get the details of a meeting between some Apple executives and FDA officials. Mm-hmm. First of all, big kudos to them for doing that, because that's pretty darn spiffy, and it's not something that we normally see within the Apple web community. Of course, we also don't often have meetings between Apple and various officials where we can use a Freedom of Information request to get anything. That's nonetheless true. They get big props, in my opinion, for doing that. And now the big takeaway that most people seem to have about this was that they met with the FDA and they talked about meters and they talked about sensors, and that Apple was looking to get the FDA's, sort of take the FDA's pulse on how exactly the FDA is going to be regulating devices that are used to monitor health. And Apple was assuring the FDA that it wants to be on the side of the FDA's approach to these sorts of things, and the fact that the FDA isn't interested in regulating devices that can collect medical information if they're being marketed as educational or self-educational.
Right. So a lot of people in the media are looking at this as, whoa, holy crap. I watch. This proves
right.
It.
Yeah. Right. Which it does yet again. And, and it's also talking about the iPhone 2. And really, this all ties into what we now know about HealthKit. And this meeting took place back in December. But the thing that really stood out for me, all of that stuff is interesting and revelatory and worthy of discussion. But the thing that stood out for me was Apple's opinion, according to the FDA, that they see mobile tech platforms as an opportunity for users to learn more about themselves.
And I found that to be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I really did too.
Yeah, it changes the perspective from this is about trying to find everything that a company can learn about us into finding a way that everyone can learn as much as they can about themselves.
Yeah, and as I said in the piece that I wrote up about this, if there's an encapsulating statement that sets out the differences between Apple and everybody else, it's this. Because every other company on the planet seems to look at mobile technology as this way of learning more about us so that they can then exploit it for profit. And right. Apple is the lone voice in the forest or the herd, or whatever the phrase is, where they're saying that the way to make money from this is by allowing users to learn more about themselves. And it's in essence this comes down to one of the many reasons that I'm a fan of Apple products.
I'm with you. I was sitting here just imagining what would this be like if it was Google collecting all of this data, and it would be a completely different story. It would be all about how can we collect this and then monetize the information.
Yeah, how this is going to be great, because now we're going to be able to to sell sunscreen, sell the sunscreen advertisements to people with skin conditions, and sell diabetic products to people with diabetes, and just on and on and on and on. And that's not Apple's angle. And like I said, it's one of the reasons why I am a fan of Apple products.
Yeah, I think it's awesome because it's a very different approach and nicely refreshing, because sadly, I'm at a point where I'm feeling like it doesn't matter what I buy. I'm actually paying a lot of money for a conduit that allows companies to collect everything they can about me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so very nice change. And
it's coming from Apple. Right. This is the same thing we were talking about yesterday a little bit with the company whose name escapes me now that Apple just bought.
Spot Setter?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it because Apple is doing it. That's basically what it comes down to. Like, if this was the same thing from Google, I wouldn't believe a word of the phrase about helping customers learn more about themselves. I would be like, oh, what a load of hooey. You're just trying to sell me because you want my information. But from Apple, I believe it.
Well, two things about that. For one, this is a meeting that was not a public meeting, and the information was only obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. But two, make no mistake about it, Apple sees a way to profit from providing us tools that we can use for ourselves. That's the reason why you can believe it. This isn't Apple being altruistic. This is Apple seeing a market opportunity to provide devices that can do stuff for us that they can sell at a price that gives them substantial margins. So, this is Apple's take on capitalism here.
It's just
the rest of capital sees us as walking exploitable boxes.
Right. But I think that's part of what it is about the approach that makes me feel better about it. Like, make no mistake, I'm not under the illusion Apple is doing this for my own good and my own good alone. I'm under the impression Apple is doing this because they are pursuing an avenue to make money. But the way that they are going about it, to me, is the thing that is very useful.
Yes, it's a breath of fresh air where we are not simply the product to be sold.
Precisely.
There you go. All right. Another topic that I want to hit, which it's a hot point for a lot of us, Skype.
Oh, Skype.
Skype. Yes.
We're using Skype right now.
We're using Skype right now, which means that there's a likelihood that if the Skype police are listening in, if we start complaining, we'll lose our connection. So,
which is what I was going to say. Be careful how sharply we criticize.
Yes. Okay. So what brought Skype to mind for me today was a story that you wrote yesterday, Kelly, about how Skype is working on a big update for the iOS version of their app.
Well, the iPhone version. There's rumblings about the iPad version ending up the same. And because they do specifically call out that it is the iPhone version and that the iPad version will be getting a makeover in the near future. They released information about the new version. I want to say it's 5.0 for iPhone yesterday on the Skype blog. And in talking about it, what they were talking about was basically it's not available till next week, but we are so excited about it. We wanted to share with you now. And what concerns me about this is that I want to think that Skype is doing something that may be helpful for people. Again, like, make it easier. If you make it easier for me to Skype from my phone or Skype from my iPad, maybe I'll do it more and it will be worth my time to do that. Maybe I will find it so useful I will pay for the premium account. But I worry that what's going to happen is they're going to introduce some sort of new UI and it's going to end up being the same everywhere because that's Microsoft's jam now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we get on the iPhone is partly an update for iPhone, but also a precursor of, you know, if you make this wider, this is what the Mac version will look like, or, you know, this is what you're going to get on the iPad anyway, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that concerns me. We have a proven track record here from Microsoft, and like you said, they now own Skype. Mm-hmm. So that track record can play over or spill over into the Skype team now. I'm really worried that the interface elements that we look at today and are really frustrated with are about to become more so on our desktop and laptop computers.
Yeah, and that's what worries me, is that it's not going to be something where it's different but still useful. I'm worried that what I have now that I mostly don't like is just going to get worse. It's going to be less useful. It's going to be less convenient. It's going to be one of those things where I tap on it one day because I actually need to do something and it behaves the exact opposite of how I want it to, and I get mad and I uninstall it just like I did Facebook.
Okay. And then that brings up a problem that I see that's even bigger, which is, what if we all get so pissed off with Skype that we want to use something else? What else is there?
Well, there's nothing else, because you know, doing what Skype does is not easy.
Right.
And in fact, it's quite hard. I mean, FaceTime, for instance, FaceTime is a fine tool for you know, having a conversation with someone, or even having a conversation with more than someone, right? You can do multiple people with FaceTime, can't you?
Sure. Sure.
You can? Oh, cool.
But it doesn't have the same sort of, like, at least the way we use it at TMO. We use it at TMO by having a central room where we are all able to just go and communicate with each other throughout the day. You don't have to be there. You don't have to even have the app open. That's going to, anything that's been said since you were there last is going to be just right there for you. And, yeah. And then we can use it for having very quick conversations. And it's, again, it's all from an interface that is really designed well for doing that sort of thing. And the stuff that they're doing on the audio side, being able to just navigate firewalls, for instance, I mean, that stuff was hard.
Yes, which is why they're the only game in town, I believe.
Yeah, and it's akin to magic what they're doing, because it seems that Skype can find a way through any firewall.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works. You don't have to, well, when it works, it just works. And you don't have to do anything to try and find your way through the security systems. It just makes all of that happen. And then here we are right now, recording a show.
Yeah.
You know, here we are complaining. I think that Microsoft has certainly earned the benefit of the doubt that any upcoming changes are probably going to be for the better, right?
The ribbon, Brian, the ribbon.
I'm really proud of you for being able to get through that statement with a straight face.
I admire your straight-facedness. You could go be one of those guards in the big furry hats for the queen.
Yes, I could.
Those are the flying monkey things?
Yeah.
Yeah, those. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, I'm really worried about where Skype may be going. Although I would like to be optimistic that we're on the verge of a great new interface and even better audio quality and better stability. And yet I'm a little worried.
Yeah. Well, and we have reason to be, I mean, as Brian illustrated, and that's the thing is I do want to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I do want to say maybe something has happened. Maybe, you know, maybe this is one of those crazy initiatives where the people who develop the iOS app actually get to use iOS devices and they spend time in the app that they're actually supposed to be designing for and get to maybe get a good feeling for what the pain points are and may find a way to make those pain points better. And The thing that I have noticed in some of the stuff that Skype has come out with, when they have made changes to things, part of what I was pleased about when I wrote the article initially yesterday was to see that they were giving it some attention, because it really didn't get a whole lot of makeover or anything like that when iOS 7 came out. It's kind of looked the same for a really long time and functioned the same for a really long time. So the big thing that we mentioned this morning was synchronizing like chat history and stuff, and how that's supposed to be handled a little differently and hopefully better. And I'd like to think that maybe in some of these cases, like, I understand that I'm generally the exception to the rule, whatever it is. But it seems like when these decisions get made, they're not good for anybody. It's not like, I can see why they did this for people who don't use Skype all the time, maybe aren't as technically savvy. You know, to me, it's a pain in the neck, but to someone else who only needs it once in a while, maybe it's a great thing that it works this way. But every time something like that happens, I can't find anybody who's like, yeah, because they do this now, it's so much better.
Right. And okay, so maybe the target audience for Skype are the developers that make it. And on that note, I think we're going to have to wrap up.
Okay.
And now we'll just have to wait until, what is it, next week when
next week.
The iPhone version comes out.
Yeah.
And see how that goes. And then maybe we'll have to do a Skype rant.
It's entirely possible.
Yes, it is. All right. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Kelly, for being on. I always love it when you guys are here, because you're just too much fun.
Thanks.
Anytime.